It's a longing in your heart, a calling in your soul that says there has to be more to life than what I'm living. There's a bigger purpose. There's a deeper connection.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome to Straight Talk Radio. I'm your host, Joshua Halleck, and Pastor Mark and I would love to extend an invitation to you. If you do not have a church home, maybe you've been listening to Straight Talk for a while or you just tuned in today, come and give us a visit. We would love to have you. We'd love to meet you and hear your story. There's over 30 celebrations on a Sunday morning. Some are in English, some are in Spanish, some are even in Mandarin Chinese. And if you want more information, visit our website at www.newlifechicago.org. And even if it's not New Life, find a church home somewhere and get involved and get invested, because it's been one of the greatest resources for the growth of my faith and in so many other people's lives. We believe it's God's design that you don't float around as a Lone Ranger Christian, but that you develop your faith in the context of community. So we'd love to meet you. Come and visit us, or visit somewhere and get connected. You can get more information at newlifechicago.org.
Thanks, Josh.
Hi, everyone. Pastor Mark begins a brand new series today called Chain Reaction, Setting Change in Motion. Today's message is entitled Moving Beyond Your Challenge, and our text will be found in the book of Luke, chapter 5, verses 17 through 26. Here's Pastor Mark with tonight's Straight Talk.
Today we start a new series entitled Chain Reaction, Setting Change in Motion. What is a chain reaction? A chain reaction is a series of events, each caused by the previous one. A chain reaction means that something happens to the first unit that affects the second unit and the third unit and the fourth unit and the fifth unit. And sometimes it can grow so rapidly and accelerate in such an exponential way that thousands are quickly affected by the action that started with one unit. When it comes to people, we are believing that God is going to start a chain reaction with some of you that are deeply and powerfully touched by God, and that the fact that you were touched by God is going to spill over to someone else being touched by God, that causes someone else to be touched and someone else to be touched and someone else to be touched by God, because you are here because someone before you brought you here, talked to you, prayed for you, witnessed to you, encouraged you. You are part of a chain reaction. Amen? So the way a chain reaction works is this. I was thinking about chain reactions, and my mind went to 30 years ago. I got married 30 years ago to my lovely bride. Yeah. I know they don't allow marriages at 12 nowadays, but we got married young. And I married my wife, and I was poor, and she was not as poor, but she was kind of poor. So I managed to scrounge up enough money to do two things. One, to buy her a ring. I figured a rubber band would not be good enough, so I bought her a ring. Now, it wasn't an impressive ring, but hey, it was paid for in full, not on credit, and it had a little diamond in it. By the way, when I hit my 25th anniversary, my wife said, it's really nice, but I want a bigger one. So I got her a bigger one. But it had sentimental value to it. So I got her a ring. And the other thing that I did is I managed to save up enough money to buy tickets to go to the country that I was raised in, which was the country of Spain. The problem is, once I got to Spain, I had no money to travel in Spain or for hotels in Spain. So all I knew is I was on faith to get to Spain. And on our wedding day, boy, did we rip up those envelopes really fast to see if we could find some cash in those envelopes so that we could at least eat something while we were in Spain. I had the cheapest, most fun honeymoon that anybody could have. I got a borrowed car and I traveled around Spain and other parts. We ate ham sandwiches and slept in a tent most of the time because I couldn't afford a hotel. But you know what? Love covers a multitude of sins. And so we had an awesome time together. I don't think my wife would enjoy it that much these days if I put her in a tent and ham sandwiches. But so I was driving in Switzerland, and in Spain and in Europe, various countries in Europe, they have these what they call roundabouts, rotondas, they call them in Spain. And instead of a stoplight, you come up to a roundabout, and it's hard to figure out, like, who goes first. Does he have the right of way? Do I have the right of way? There's a couple lanes around some of these roundabouts, so it's very confusing. And I happened to be in Switzerland driving this car with my wife in this roundabout, and I was trying to figure out where we were going. It was before GPS, so my wife had a map open. She was saying, yeah, this way, I think that way. She says it's that way. So I made a turn in this roundabout without putting my turn signal on. And I heard thump. My wife looked back and she said, you just hit a policeman. Our first response, oh Lord Jesus, help us not to spend our honeymoon in jail, please. And so I said, what do you mean I hit a policeman? And I looked, and sure enough, I had hit a motorcycle, a policeman that was on a motorcycle, and he was on the floor. The motorcycle was, the wheels were up in the air. He was on the floor, and I was saying, Lord, I pray that I did not kill this man or break his bones. And we were panicking. I got out of the car, and I said to my wife, pray, pray. And I ran out to see how he was doing. Now, I noticed a couple things. One, I noticed a chain reaction. As soon as we stopped, his motorcycle obviously had to stop. The car behind him stopped. The car behind him stopped. The next car stopped. The next car. And in a short amount of time, all of the traffic had stopped. Some people had gotten out of their car. I felt like when I got out of my car, like hundreds of people were looking at me like, what did you just do, dude? And so I ran over to the policeman. Thank God he was breathing. I helped him up. I dusted him off. I tried to cover up his split pants and looked to see if there was any broken bones on him. He was shaking and sweating and speaking to me in French, because that's what they speak in Switzerland. And I said to him, I'm so sorry. I'm from America. I'm driving a car from Spain. We're in Switzerland, and I'm on my honeymoon. He looked at me, and I don't know what came over him. I think he saw my face. I don't know if it was just my wife crying in the car, praying, Lord Jesus. But he actually, after he dusted himself off, took my documents, he let me go without a ticket. I mean, no ticket, no nothing, just said, go drive safely in his broken English. I got in the car. My wife was just praising Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that we don't have to spend our honeymoon in jail. I drove a little bit, and then he pulled up next to me again, and I couldn't figure out where I was going, so I rolled down the window. I said, could you give me directions, please, sir? And my wife says, what are you doing? But here's what I discovered. What struck me is that one car stopped, created a whole bunch of other cars that stopped, because it's a chain reaction. I drive down the Stevenson. Sometimes the traffic is 45 an hour long. And I think there must have been a horrendous, horrific accident that happened, that the traffic would be backed up this bad. And then I get to the place where the accident has happened, and it's a little fender bender, and someone's sitting on the hood, not a big thing, but they call it a gaper's block. Because what happens is all this curious people slow down to see what has happened. Is it okay? And that affects the car behind them, because they have to slow down to make it sure it's okay. And the car behind them. And pretty soon there could be thousands of cars that are affected by the reaction of one car up front. That's called a chain reaction. Today, I believe that God wants to set in motion. Well, I'm praying, I'm believing. I got up this morning early and I prayed, Jesus, I pray for some chain reactions. I'm praying, God, that you would get a hold of some lives today in such a powerful, dramatic, life-altering fashion that there is a chain reaction that starts today in the hearts of some that will literally affect hundreds, if not thousands of people in the months and years to come. And so I want to take your attention to a story that's found in Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. This is a story about a man that has an encounter that leads to a chain reaction. At our 9:30 service, at the end of the service, probably about a dozen people came forward to say, I'm here to give my life to Jesus Christ. I've never done it before. I'm surrendering to Christ. Many of them with tears streaming down their face as they say yes to giving their life over to Christ. So I want to challenge you at the end of the service that you may be here today and have walked into this auditorium and you know that you're far from God, that you do not know God, that you're distant from Him. You're kind of surprised you're in a religious service today. But deep inside of your heart, there's something that's calling you to the presence of God. At the end of this service, I'm going to give another call for those of you that know that God is calling you to Him, to be born again, to give your life, to surrender your life to Christ, to become a follower of Jesus. Some of you here, God has been working on you, so all I have to do is just call you forward, and you already know that it's your time, it's your season. But I want your spirit to be attentive to what God may be saying to you at this time, at this moment, in this service, because I've been praying, a lot of people have been praying for you today. In Luke chapter 19, it's a story of a man that's a seeker. We know him by the name of Zacchaeus. And I'm going to read in Luke chapter 19, verse 1. It says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through, and a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. And he wanted to see Jesus. But because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Moving Beyond Your Challenge, which is from Pastor Mark's series called Chain Reaction, Setting Change in Motion. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Luke, chapter 5, verses 17 through 26. Tonight's Straight Talk is called Moving Beyond Your Challenge.
I want to talk to you today about three action steps. Climb up, come down, stand up. Climb up, come down, stand up. All related to steps that God may be asking you to take as you start a chain reaction. The first one I want to talk to you about is climb up. I believe that climb up means that we overcome the limitations that block our view of Jesus. Luke chapter 19 talks about Jesus going to Jerusalem and he travels through a town named Jericho. Now, I've been to the ancient city of Jericho, which is in the Palestinian-controlled area of Israel. It was one of the main thoroughfares at the time, and it was a very wealthy, prestigious city. The climate was great. The location was exquisite for trade. And so a lot of people that were wealthy had made their way to Jericho. It was the Palm Springs of that day. The publicans, the tax collectors, the business people, those that wanted a great climate and those that had a lot of money to spend would make their way to Jericho. As Jesus went through Jericho, passing through, His reputation had spread ahead of him. People already knew that there was a man that did unusual, extraordinary things. Rumors had it that he would touch the eyes of the blind and that they would open. They heard that he would put his hands on the ears of the deaf and they would hear again. Some even said that he raised the dead. Some people claimed that he walked on water, that he was God in the flesh manifest. So people had gathered around to see who this Jesus was. Some were curious, some were antagonists, some were doubters, some were cynical, some wanted to kill him. Others were like Zacchaeus, a man that was living a corrupt, devious, criminal kind of life. Yet there was something inside of him drawing him, the curiosity to know and see who this Jesus really was. It tells us that this man's name was Zacchaeus and that he was a chief tax collector. Zacchaeus had two challenges to overcome. One was a physical challenge and the other was a soul challenge. Do you know that we all have challenges here in seeing Jesus clearly? There's not a person in this auditorium that doesn't have challenges to overcome in their view of God. I don't know what your challenge is. Zacchaeus had two challenges. Number one, he was corrupt, living a life that extorted people. He was called a tax collector, and I'll tell you what that really was. And the other challenge was that he was short. He was vertically challenged. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you are also vertically challenged in this place or just petitely packaged. Let's put it that way. I'm 6 foot. My wife is 5 foot. We are exactly 1 foot apart. It works out pretty well. Just yesterday, she said, "Mark, could you come here?" "Yes, ma'am." No. I went into the kitchen and she said, "Could you put the glasses on the top shelf?" Now I know why God gave me long arms. And so there's things that I could do that she can't do because she's only 5 foot high, but she's the perfect height for her. I'm glad she's 5 foot high. But Zacchaeus was a man and he was short, the Bible tells us. And so I believe that this physical challenge is a glimpse, a picture into a message that's bigger. He was short, and so in the crowd, he couldn't see over the heads of the people to see Jesus. I think that tells us of his spiritual condition, that he did not have a clear picture of Jesus, that he wanted to see Jesus but couldn't, and he was corrupt. The Bible says he was a tax collector. Now, a tax collector in the days of Jesus was not like the IRS is today. Let me tell you, a tax collector in the days of Jesus was one of the most hated, despised type of people that existed at that time for a couple of reasons. Number one, no one likes to pay money to the government. Hello. But especially when the government is an oppressive regime like the Roman Empire of the first century. The Romans would crucify people by the hundreds, sometimes by the thousands. They would execute. The Romans had come in and with their legion of army, they had conquered the area of Judea. So the people of Israel were an occupied country. And the occupied the domineering country that had occupied them was the Romans. They had their army there that would keep them in line. And it was the Romans that were extracting taxes from the Jewish people to pay for their endeavors. So it's like this other country hires Jewish people to go around and collect taxes from their own people to pay to a foreign government. So not only was it because they were paying taxes to the Romans, but it was also because they viewed tax collectors as traitors to their own country. They had sold out to the Romans. They were unpatriotic. They were working for the enemy to extract taxes that were heavy on a people that was already struggling oftentimes with poverty. And then thirdly, it was a common knowledge that tax collectors cheated people they collected from. In fact, the way that a tax collector became wealthy was to overcharge the people they were collecting taxes from. And many of the tax collectors became very wealthy at the expense of cheating their people. So if you wanted to insult someone, a Jewish person, you would say, "You're a tax collector." In fact, if you read in the Bible, oftentimes it says, "Treat them as a tax collector," which means treat them wrong. Or when they're praying, they say, I'm not like a tax collector or a publican. It was one of the worst things that you could call someone is a tax collector. And Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. By the way, I love this about Jesus. Do you know that one of Jesus' 12 disciples, Matthew, was also a tax collector? The power of God reaches out to no matter who you are, where you've come from, because God's not afraid of your background. So the Bible tells us that Zacchaeus climbs up a tree, happens to be a sycamore tree, because he was curious about who this Jesus was. He knew that in his vertically challenged condition, he would not be able to see over the heads of the crowd. And so this wealthy, prosperous tax collector climbs up into a tree, gets into a position because he knows Jesus is coming by, and he gets there specifically because he wants to see Jesus better. I believe that longing and inner calling in our life sometimes disguises itself as curiosity. I believe that there's some people that are here today and you say, "Well, I'm just curious about Christianity," or "I'm curious about God," but really it's more than that. It's more than curiosity. It's a longing in your heart, a calling in your soul that says there has to be more to life than what I'm living. There's a bigger purpose. There's a deeper connection. There's something that I'm missing. And you may chalk it up to curiosity. Someone may say, "Well, why are you going to church?" "Well, I'm just curious. I'm just seeking to learn. I'm just kind of interested in it." But deep inside, you know that it's much more than curiosity. There's something that's driving you, a longing of your heart, a calling to your soul, a whisper to your spirit that's calling you to something that is bigger, greater, deeper, more compelling. I believe Zacchaeus, it was more than curiosity. I believe that it was something inside of him driving him to Jesus, wanting him to know, who is this Jesus that people talk about? Maybe it's true. Maybe I'm missing something. Maybe it's deeper than that. And he climbs up. Some of you are here today, you've climbed up. I don't know what challenge you have to overcome. He had to overcome his stature and the corruption of his soul. There's a lot of people that are distant from Jesus and can't quite see him clearly because of challenges that you face in your life. Some people are challenged by the fact that when they were young, they had a terrible experience with religious people. And now the thought of religion just makes them turn away. Some people have a hard time seeing God clearly because when somehow in your life you experience a tragic betrayal in your own life, maybe sexual assault or brokenness or tragedy against you, and you wonder, "God, if you're a good God, if you're there, where were you when I was going through this tough time?" Maybe you've are plagued with doubt or cynicism. And so when you try to look at God, you can't quite see him clearly in your heart or in your soul. Maybe there's unforgiveness in your heart or someone that hurt you, resentment in your soul. And so when you try to look at God, you can't quite see him clearly. Or often what I see is people who have had a terrible relationship with their father. An absentee, abusive, neglective father. And when you think of God, all you can think of is the way that your father treated you, and so you do not see God clearly.
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe's Straight Talk series called Chain Reaction, Setting Change in Motion. And tonight was the first half of his message called Moving Beyond Your Challenge. Join us tomorrow night for the second half. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find other helpful tools to help you in your walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, just contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark's book, called Unstuck, is also available for just $10 plus shipping. If you're looking for a home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations in and around Chicagoland. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would love to meet you. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself. Thanks so much for listening. Have a wonderful night, and we'll see you tomorrow. God bless.